Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Yep, just a couple of manly men proving it by smelling like gasoline right now. I don't really smell it on you, not that I've gotten that close, but when I told you right away today, apologies if I smell like gas, I spilled a little gas when I was filling the mower, and some of it got on my left hand, and it just doesn't go away.
No.
The smell doesn't go away easily. Yes, I've tried soap, but I feel like it's going to linger.
Yeah.
And then you said, I won't even notice because I might too.
Yeah.
So that's what you got today out there.
Yeah. Some holes were closed at the Delaware Park Golf Course today. The corporate challenge is tomorrow, so the tents are set up, so... my 7:30 round that should have taken me until about 10:30 got cut short by about an hour, and I walked in the door. I'm like, eh, you know what? Big yard. Get all the gear out.
Did you find those rabbits?
Here we go. No sign of the rabbits.
They moved on.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah. I'm confident that they are living happy little bunny lives.
Good. I would say the same thing.
Mostly because I just think it would be really weird for a hawk to, like, have... even spotted them in my yard. I don't have a big, expansive yard.
And just swooped them all up at once?
Right,
or?
Like power lines and stuff. Like, I just can't see a hawk getting them. So, anyway, and that's the only predator I would really think. I mean, there are occasionally coyotes in my neighborhood, but not at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, right.
So, I'm confident the bunnies are alive. Yeah, but yeah, so all the... You know, all the my hands just sort of they have that dirt smell kind of.
Oh, dirt and gas.
We did the stuff. We did the stuff. You want to get it done when it gets this time of the year. You know, when it seems like it might be nice out. You don't want to wait until Saturday.
No,
with that stuff. No. Like if we're lucky we don't have to be here till now actually. And so that gives you a lot of time to avoid having to spend a Saturday, doing all that muling around the yard. I got it done today, so I'm
especially if
in
you're
the clear.
Driving every Saturday.
Well, right, so that's a different,
even more
different
important
problem,
to get it done when you can get it done.
Right, I'm just recreating locally. That's
so
my plan.
I spent, some time today when I wasn't pouring gasoline on my left hand. When I spent some time today looking up Bill's bets. Now, I'm sure you've heard, maybe not everyone, but I'm sure you've heard the thing about how the Bills are favored in every game.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, by the way, right? Every game. They have good teams on their schedule. The best teams are all here, though. I think Baltimore, Kansas City, Philadelphia,
right now,
they'd be underdogs on the road in all three. Certainly Baltimore and Philadelphia.
I'm inclined to agree. I think Kansas City even, too.
They have
Cincinnati would be a little different, maybe.
They have been favorites at the Chiefs in the regular season more than once. Like, they've earned that. It's week 12 anyway, I think, or week 10. Week 9.
Week 9, yeah.
Week 9 is Kansas City. So I reached out to Sam, because I looked at FanDuel, is there a site that is offering spreads on every game? Because you hear that they came out. But
are they actionable?
Yeah, can I bet on week 12 right now? And he's like, no. None of the big sites have offered that yet. I don't know when that happens, but I feel like that's a cool idea is to... Because in fantasy, what we're trying to do is... Right, so why draft so early, right? To most fantasy players, June is way too early to be drafting. I mean, I'm drafting in
March.
Yeah,
you don't even go through training camp. Guys will get hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
It's way too early. How could you possibly draft this early? One, you're drafting against people who are also drafting this early. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the same information.
Right.
And two, and I've learned this from the experts I mingle with, what you're really trying to do more than like nail your best picks, everything like that. What you're really trying to do is guess who's going to move up. And you know, you might have a reason for thinking some. He'll give you an example. And I don't want to make this about fantasy, but just to give you an example of the kind of the concept. Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey in drafts has been going, until recently, like early second round.
Which is kind of late for him?
Well, yes. Because if we get to the summer, we get to training camp, and there's no issue with his health.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can only trust that so well because last year we didn't hear a lot about it either and he missed 10 games.
But the reports are he's got a spring in his step and he looks great, he feels great, he great summer training,
all
you know, spring, whatever, all the stuff.
And he says it too.
That'll push him.
And then the fantasy player goes, wait a minute, if Christian McCaffrey is actually Christian McCaffrey, he might be like the first pick in the draft.
Right.
So he's not going to get that high, but he's already moving up to like mid to late first round because people are closer to the season without hearing bad news.
Right. So the whole thing is always has been very similar to gambling, but this is like a futures bet.
Exactly. Right?
On Christian McCaffrey.
We might have the same opinion of Christian McCaffrey, but if one of us, let's say you in this case, is like, actually, by the summer, everybody's going to hear, like, there's no bad news and he's amazing, and why don't I just draft him way earlier?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. And I think with these single game point spreads, I think of a conversation I had years ago with Warren Sharp about this, how this is what you're trying to do. This is what Sam would say, I'm sure, is if you think news is going to affect, and that could also be like how the season is going, if you're talking about a game in December, is going to affect the line, well, you might want to bet it one way early. And then if you're right, whatever it would be, you know, you expect a certain team to be better or worse than consensus, the line changes because you're right if that happens, and then you've got a different number when you get to the week of the game. Make sense?
Yeah.
I know it makes sense to you. So it is what it is. The big sites, I guess, I don't know of a way to bet the Browns game in week 16 or whatever that is, 15 or 16. But there is a site, and maybe there are several. One is called Sportsbook Review that has a line for every game. Somebody, if they're telling you the Bills are favored in every game, they've got to have some justification of that. There's got to be some physical proof of that somewhere. Maybe in Vegas, you could go to a book and bet.
These games.
Yeah, right?
Week 9, whatever.
Yeah. It's incredible enough, right? Is that a too big a word? That the Bills would be favored every week. It's even more incredible than that, though, I think, having looked at the entire season, because not only are they favored in, this is from Sportsbook Review, say what you want, it's good enough for me. Not only are they favored in all 17 games, they are favored by 7 points or more in 7 of those games. They are favored by 4.5 or more. That's a pretty good favorite in the NFL. 4.5.
Yeah.
In 13.
So are the four big home games the only ones that are under that?
They're 3 of the 4.
3 of the 4. Is the Bengal game above that?
That's right.
Okay.
It's 5.5 Cincinnati as of now on that website. Week 14, Bills -5.5 against the Bengals. The shorter ones are the Ravens, 1.5, the Eagles, 1.5, the Chiefs, 2.5, the Texans away, 3.5, the Thursday night, week 12. Every other game on the schedule, the Bills are 4.5-point favorites or more. There is not a division game, not one, where they are favored by less than 4.5. The shortest division game is at New England in week 15. At Miami is 5.5. At the Jets in week 2 is 8.5. Versus the Dolphins in week 3 is 8.5. Versus the Patriots on the Sunday night in week 5 is 8.5.
8.5 at the Dolphins.
5.5 at the Dolphins.
5.5 at the 8.5 at home. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry.
Both Miami and New England here, respectively, weeks 3 and 5. are 8.5-point underdogs in those games as of now. I mean,
and New England is being talked about by me, even you know, and other people who know way more than me, as like the team to look out for, right? Like Adam Schefter, right? Like they're going to be in the rearview mirror kind of thing. That's a massive number.
8.5 is a lot
for the second best team in an NFL division. You know, going to visit the favorite, that's a huge number.
And if you want to make that Miami, it's the same point.
Right.
8.5 points.
That's a team that just, you know, season before last, the Bills needed to beat on the final day of the season to make sure they made the playoffs.
Pretty much.
I mean, wow.
So we are right where we've ever been in this area. The Bills are, FanDuel does have these. To make the divisional round, right? Either get the bye or win the first round of the playoffs. The Bills are -195. That is the favorite. They are the first name on the board for odds to make the divisional round. -195. Not Philadelphia. Again, that's like easier division, I think. Likelier to win the division.
Right.
That's home game. That could be a better record.
Right. Philly's got to deal with Dallas and Washington. Probably. I mean, Washington, I would think, almost definitely, maybe Dallas.
And nobody wins the NFC East 2 years in a row. It hasn't happened in more than 20 years.
Right.
-195 to make the AFC divisional round. If you know odds, is that not, like, incredible? Again, I'll use that word if I'm not overstating. 2-1. Yesterday, I'm all worked up because James Cook walked in the door. And like, oh, no. What are we gonna talk about? There's nothing wrong. Well, listen to that.
Here's more evidence of nothing wrong.
Basically, -200 to get to the final four of the AFC. why play it out?
Right. Like, just can't we just
why worry
forward?
About anything? Let's just talk about the uniforms for 3 months. -195 to make the division round. No team is a bigger favorite. +145 to make the AFC championship. No team is a bigger favorite to make the conference championship round. +145. That's all you get, right? Your $10 wins $14.50 to bet the Bills to make the AFC championship. Think about it. You're not betting that.
I'm never betting that.
Never betting that.
It's too likely to happen.
I'd bet the Colts to make the AFC Championship.
I'm too likely to win $14.50. You know? What am I going to do with $14.50?
Right. That's got to be like a $10,000 bet or something.
Right.
To make that interesting.
Right.
To win $14.5. Like, okay.
And I'm never making that bet either. I'm not equipped.
Pick any number you want where it would bring on like anxiety. I know, I'm asking you to bring on. It's hard enough in life to avoid it. But I'm asking you to imagine this scenario where you've made a substantive bet on the Bills to make the AFC Championship. What do you do? It can only go wrong between now and mid-January.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing. The Bills could win every regular season game. They still have to win a playoff game, even if they go 17-0. They would still have to win the division round against maybe the 4 seed. Or somebody like that. Maybe they'd be a touchdown favorite to do that, but you're still not home yet. They have to win that game for you to get home. And, you know, you can't even really hedge that. How would you even hedge that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe in that divisional round game, you would bet the other team. You would bet Houston on the money line or something like that. Then you'd win either way for how many thousands of dollars? I mean, just +145 to make the AFC Championship, and they are the favorite right now at FanDuel to make the Super Bowl, +350. No team is above them in either of these on any of these levels. They're favored in every game, and in 13 out of 17 games, they are favored by at least 4.5 points. Let's go to the ballpark.
Right.
Max Scherzer. I mean,
right.
What is the point of scrutinizing this?
Yeah.
This can only go the wrong way. If everything goes the right way, well, you know, you're winning some of these. You're live for the playoff ones. But you're not, you know, unless the Bills are the 07 Patriots, You're not really winning any money.
No, yeah, right. Yeah, unless you're comfortable, and I'm not. Look, I am, and this this reveals something probably about my personality. I think I don't think it really reveals how I am with money, or maybe it does. I'm way more comfortable making $10 five leg parlay bets and losing them all.
Yeah.
Than I am making one $100 bet on something I'm really confident about. Because however confident I am, I'm still going to, one of these bets, like I would never, like what's a number? 50 would have to be that. I've never wagered $50 on anything.
Really?
On FanDuel. Yeah. I mean, I just don't ever, you know, I like to build these silly constructs where I hit it big if I get, you know, four things right.
Which you've won on many times.
I've done enough of it, but I have not ever – I'm happy about this about myself because it could get tempting. You hit a couple of those and they're like, well, if I put in 50 instead of 10.
I know.
You're right. Like, no.
Which is the first thought I have every time I win a bet.
Right.
How sad is that?
Yeah.
Every time I win a bet, my thought is, why didn't I bet more?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you should remember all the ones you lose. At least that's what I would tell myself.
I do. I mean, so, I can answer that question.
Yeah.
But I do have that thought every time.
I love all that. But you know what I'm thinking is when they wave the green flag on being able to it's FanDuel, it's the only app that I have. I know I could get other ones, but whatever, I do their commercials. So that's where I do it. And whenever they wave the green flag on being able to bet the individual games, I would want to pick out six or seven of my favorite ones and put them all together. That's what I would do rather than bet one at a time. I would just, okay, which of these am I the most confident in? And let's just put them all in there. And like, you know, maybe I'll get the benefit of something going really well for the Bills, better than even imagine, which is hard, I think, to fathom given everything we've just talked about for the past 15 minutes. But still, maybe. So I'll catch, you know, a break on a spread somewhere here that's going to only go up because they're so good or something. And that'd be nice to be able to be sitting on that.
The thing about that, and I'm sorry to say this to you, like the technical thing about that is you can't really offset that with a single bet unless it's the last leg.
Right.
If it's the last leg, then you can bet the other side and come out ahead no matter what. But if you have five games and it's the second game and that spread is moved by a touchdown for some reason, what can you really do about that? You might lose either way by playing that. But if you play individually, then you can do that five times if you want. I mean, not everybody speaks sportsbook, and I recognize that. It's not really a betting point. It's a point about, because the betting markets reflect objectively what people think of your team. I've made this point 1,000 times, good times and bad. Your people are excited about LeSean McCoy. Like, yeah, I don't think anybody cares that bets on football. Mm-hmm. Whether you know something bad, Von Miller gets hurt, something bad happens at the Hyde and Poyer. I don't think anybody really cares. Like I know that's a real thing and it's going to matter, but maybe not that much. The betting markets are honest and they tell you sometimes what you don't want to hear if you're just, you know, if you're a fan, right? So it's not about the numbers or anything. It's really, I think, about, we know they're established as really good. I mean, we don't have that question. Allen and the rest of it, like, we know what it looks like. The division is considered so soft that it moves the Bills ahead of teams like Baltimore and Kansas City and Philadelphia, who don't have, we think, the same luxury. And that is what separates the Bills from those teams. Right. And I don't know, are there others? It separates them from those teams in this area and gives you basically their favorite in everything. I think if you fail to recognize that point, even I think a diehard fan would be like, all right, this sounds like a little much.
Mm-hmm.
Favored in every game. They're not going to win every game. Favored to win the AFC championship, favored to make it, all of it. Wow. Like, it really has to be thought about that Miami, New England, and New York are
Right.
Maybe not better than 500 teams.
Right. That absolutely, a very recent example of that would be if people were paying attention to the odds before as the playoffs were just beginning in the NHL, Carolina had the shortest odds to win the cup, and it was all about their pathway. They drew the Devils and then the Capitals. I think
that's right,
they're gonna cruise to the conference final, and so
they kind of did.
You get two series out of the way, and are they the best team? No, but they've got the easiest pathway to being four wins away from making the final, and so therefore we're gonna slap the lowest number on them because they're probably gonna get there, and then who knows, overtime games or whatever, and maybe they make it, and so we're gonna recognize that. And that's what the Bills are getting, with the division especially. Really, that's it. I don't think the rest of the AFC is perceived as soft with Kansas City and Baltimore and Cincinnati maybe rebounding. But the division, that's the 3 months of the season, or 4 months of the season is that. It's winning the division, and that is for seeding, and that just permeates through everything and informs everything that you're talking about. From a likelihood of them going on a championship run.
I think one question to debate is, basically, is this accurate? Like, is this how you feel that the division? Like, would you take the Bills going 5-1 in the AFC East?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah, I wouldn't just. Yeah,
you wouldn't take 4-2.
No.
Would the Chiefs take going 4-2 in the AFC West? No.
Probably not.
Would the Ravens take 4-2 in the AFC North?
That's a heavier lift. Both of those they've got two games with the Bengals.
last year, I think they went 4-2 in that division and swept the Bengals in shootout, crazy games, right? They easily could have lost, but they didn't, but they did lose to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
and they did lose to Cleveland, I believe, last year. What did the Bills do? They lost at New England in the end. I mean, that the Jet game in the end counts in this, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah,
they could lose that game by resting
starters,
just
like they did the New England game, right?
Like they did New England, and
they won everything else.
They won everything else, right? Swept Miami, swept New York, split with New England. Why can't I remember the New England home game? Was it late?
I'm gonna have to look.
Yeah, it was late. It was one of the. Was it like two of the last 3 weeks or whatever that was? Was that last year? It was. They were both. New England games were both late.
New England games were week 16 and 18.
Okay.
Yes. So 24-21 they won here.
Yeah, it was tough.
It's a little tighter than you might have thought.
What do you think here? Is there something being missed? Like, people are superstitious. You don't want to hear favored in every game, favored in everything. And you can think maybe this team is on its own worth that, deserving of that, or maybe not. Maybe people have enough questions about certain Bills things to be like, slow down. We'll talk about it some more. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio out at the mini camp practice today. We'll talk to Sal today. Brian Koziol gives his picks on the U.S. Open later. That starts tomorrow. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We'd love to hear from you. Phones are open. This is WGR.
You want to know exactly what I see? And that's trash. You got to be better. Simple as that. Like, you got to be more efficient here. You got to get out of this break. You got to stack your DB. You got to give Josh more room to throw the ball. You got to catch that. You got to make that block. You got to get that extra effort on the touchdown block. If Jimbo break it, he up the sideline, just different things like that. Calling out everything that you're doing wrong to make it right.
Keon Coleman. Sounds like he's really hard on himself after games. He's talking. That's what he's talking about, is how he reflects after games, I think. I don't know. Give yourself a little pat on the back once in a while, Keon. That's what I would say. Everybody's got their own ways. One of my ways is looking for tickets to Friday's Bisons game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm in the middle of during the break anyway. I think I know where I'd want to sit. And there are seats available. Maybe they'll just go. Christian Benford's going to throw out the first pitch Friday. It's
okay.
Friday's down there more active, and you've got maybe some – I don't know the forecast. But Max Scherzer, this is my number one thing about the Bisons, like going to Bisons games, is either there's a kid like Guerrero was coming through, or there's a legend coming down to play for them. I don't know how many innings they'll want out of Max Scherzer, but I'd want to sit. I have the seat map up right here as we're speaking. I'd want to sit. It's like 116, 118 right by the bullpen in right, because you're like, he's right in front of you warming up.
It's like light showers in the evening.
Friday,
yeah.
Light. We can handle that.
Light showers.
We can handle light
it'll
showers.
It'll be refreshing.
Well, it'll be refreshing, yes. Hopefully.
It's the best I can do for you.
Hopefully they don't scratch him because it might rain. I don't know. Right. Was it a toe injury he had? So he pitched like for 5 minutes for Toronto, and then he went out right at the beginning of the season, and he hasn't been back.
Yeah.
This is his way back.
I didn't even know that he had done that.
I
remember him getting there, but I don't remember how it started and what happened. So I knew he hasn't been playing. So, it's nice that he's going to start the comeback trail in Buffalo on Friday night.
Yes, it is. One of six pitchers to win the Cy Young Award in each league.
Six.
He also has a World Series win, like a team, a ring from a team in each league. And the American League team is different. He's been in a lot of places. Arizona in the beginning. Mets.
Right. Texas.
Texas. He won the world. He was on that Texas team that won.
That's the ring, yeah, in the AL anyway. Yeah.
His NL World Series win and Cy Young win, Washington. I think that's the team I would think of him pitching for first. Or the Bisons.
Sure.
Yeah. If I'm in there on Friday, which is possible.
He's been so many places now that I don't. Did he start in Washington? Is that where? Or Detroit?
Arizona.
Arizona.
He started in Arizona.
I feel like he's been everywhere.
I know because I drafted him in an NL-only league when he was a rookie. And in this league, when they go to the other league, you lose him. Like, you can get compensation, but you don't get to keep the player. So I had Max Scherzer for like maybe 2 years, and then he was traded to Detroit. I think that's what happened, and I lost him, and I never got him back.
All right.
I never got Scherzer back. So I think Arizona, I'm not positive. I'm pretty sure. But the six pitchers, do you have a guess? You want to play?
Well, Halliday would be one.
That's right.
Right? Phillies and Toronto.
Yep. These are pretty – there's maybe only one name here that you wouldn't get. If you had time to think about – like, it's greats.
Right. Yeah.
And it also skews modern because, like, we're not going back to the Warriors, or they didn't even have this award until, like, the 50s or 60s.
And guys move around so much more
now,
even more now, like Max Scherzer, for example. Like, I don't know, a guy like him would have been on the number of teams he's already been on 25 years ago. Probably not.
No way.
So,
you had to be Reggie Sanders.
Right.
25 years ago to play for this many teams.
Right.
Welcome to the show, Reggie Sanders. First time in a while.
I'm going to just retire on Halliday.
You got it.
Who are the other five?
No lies told. Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson, Gaylord Perry. Perry, I thought, could stump you.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have gotten to him. Because he became talk about a guy who played a lot of places. Let me take back my he wouldn't have played that many places because Gaylord Perry, like old timers games, he's got the jersey with like, you know,
yes.
20 team logos on it. So
yes.
But the journeyman nature of his career, at least how it came to be when I like knew of him anyway, I would never have thought of him as a dominant pitcher. Like, dominant enough to win Cy Youngs in both leagues.
Yeah.
But playing in both leagues, of course, sure. Clemens was – is Houston his – like, before Houston left the NL and became AL, he went there and won?
Yes. And he won in Toronto, I think, too.
Oh, geez.
But the most amazing thing about Clemens is that he won the Cy Young Award 17 years apart.
Wow. Yeah. That is incredible.
Boston and Houston.
Yeah.
We're 17 years apart.
Yeah. Those were all really gettable. I should have dug in a little. I was thinking about Clemens, but I couldn't remember if he won it in Houston or not. So I didn't want to get a wrong guess right out of the box.
Gaylord Perry won the Cy Young for Cleveland in 1972, leading the league in wins. I think they were probably voting more based on wins in those days. But his ERA was under 2. That was like a pitcher's year, I think. And that, 24-16, 192. The show has never sounded older than that as a pitching stat line for a season. 24-16,
right.
192, 41 starts.
40 decisions.
40 decisions, 29 complete games. How many leads the league now? Five?
Three, five? Yeah, I don't know. It's so rare.
He had 29. He had 25 or more complete games 4 years in a row, 72 through 75. And he won the Cy in San Diego in 78 when Guidry won.
In the AL.
In the AL.
All right.
How many, can I have a minute to check? How many complete games last year did you need to lead baseball?
I'm going to guess it's under 5. 3 is my guess.
Oh, I clicked the wrong button. I've got the single season. Well, while we're here, the all-time record is 75 in a season. Will White. Maybe that was for the Bisons.
Is that in the 1800s?
Yes, okay. So in the 1800s. Complete games year by year.
Has the show ever sounded older?
I know. Last year, Framber Valdez led baseball with 2.
2? My God.
1 pitcher.
Right.
In baseball last year through 2 complete games. He's no Will White, that Framber Valdez.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No question about that. No siree.
Well, Scherzer's a cool thing.
Yeah, for sure. And that's absolutely sure. It's when the kids were little, the Star Wars night, like some kind of special event. Oh, all the mascots or something like that. That's going to be a, hey, you know, let's get to a Bison game. But for sure, it's nice when it coincides. I mean, not that Jamie Moyer is Scherzer, but he pitched on Star Wars night 1 year. It was a visiting player, so he wasn't on the Bisons, but still, that was pretty cool. Like, I'm going to the game already, and somebody who's pitched in hundreds of major league games is starting pitcher tonight. That's pretty cool, even if he's at the tail end of his, you know, career.
You're going to say storied career, so held off?
I don't know what I wanted.
Was Jamie Moyer's career storied?
No.
I might say different.
Yeah.
Saturday is Ninjago Day at the ballpark, by the way. We had a Ninjago phase. Sensei Wu. We might have gone to a Ninjago night at the ballpark.
Is Ninjago, they had is Ninjago cards?
No, it's just Lego. It's Lego super, like, four. I wasn't ready for this question.
Okay.
It's Legos. It's like just a soup. It's like a comic. Okay. Superhero all stuff. Right. Sensei Wu is kind of the grandmaster. He has all-knowing. The other people have different powers.
I just remember some stuff with cards.
Every one of these is the same.
With cards and then these...
Cars?
Cards.
Cards.
Cards. Okay. But not Pokemon. It was something else, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't either.
We had some dumb stuff.
Did you hear about Bruce the Bat Dog since we're on baseball?
Is Bruce the Bat Dog been called up?
Yes. I never heard of Bruce the Bat Dog, but Bruce the Bat Dog, which is fun to say, try it.
Bruce the Bat Dog.
So Bruce the Bat Dog is...
I feel happier already.
...is out of Rochester.
All right.
And he goes and gets the bat after every at-bat, I guess. I don't know if it's every, but that's his thing. Is
sure.
He goes. He's the bat boy. He's the bat dog. Goes and gets the bat.
I like it.
Bruce. What, they called him up to Washington.
What says minor league baseball more than having a dog as the bat, like a bat dog?
I think a lot of things, maybe, but it's up there. It's something that could basically spell it out.
Although him being called up to the majors sort of flies in the face of that, because it's not relegated to the minor leagues. He's getting a shot at the show.
Will Bruce be able to take will his game translate to the majors? Will he know like his way around Nationals Park? Maybe they have time to sort of it to him.
I hope he's not thrown off by a bigger crowd.
Yeah, maybe there's that to consider too.
Maybe I shouldn't assume a bigger crowd, because you know, a lot of games you watch on TV, there aren't a lot of people there.
You got to make sure a dog just knows what not to do when he's on the field.
Well,
right?
Sure. There's some things you probably want to make sure. You know, you've
that field, Bruce. I'm not going to be the only one to tell you, is not potty land. All right?
No,
that
right.
field you, is not yeah. potty land.
Yeah. You gotta not do that.
We have potty land. At my house, we have potty land. I cut potty land today.
Yeah.
The gas on my hand, the whole thing.
Right.
And we tell Margo, potty land? And then we say, well, really just myself trying to find ways to amuse myself in this troubled world.
Right.
New exhibits daily. I love new exhibits daily. I have to, if that's bragging, what can I say? I own it. I love telling Margo new exhibits daily at potty land. Come on, Margo. We got to put a new exhibit.
Oh,
up,
wow.
down, whatever. Time for a break. Don't you agree? Sal Capaccio will join us in 20 minutes. Bisons.com if you want tickets tonight, tomorrow for Scherzer on Friday through the weekend. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Always an exciting day in here, the day before a golf major. And it is up to Brian Koziol later on. Usually we do these at 6, all times Eastern, and that is the plan today. Brian will lay out his thoughts on the U.S. Open, which starts tomorrow, and pick his 10 guys. Not controversy, but we changed the payout structure a couple of years ago. So you don't win as much if one of the three favorites wins the tournament. And that's kind of always what's happening now with in this era of Scheffler and McIlroy and Schauffele and DeChambeau. Like, these are guys that are top five right. in the odds usually. And so I don't know if Brian didn't ask for my help, but like when I'm choosing the guys, you go to the yep. app and see like what the break where the top three favorites pay half a unit, 4 through 20 pay a unit over 20th in the odds, pay double. We've yet to hit that.
Right.
Ever. The right guy at the 2X, that'll be, we might want to go to 3X to give you that little incentive. Now, we're running up some numbers here, but FanDuel, DraftKings both have, Scheffler is a pretty big favorite over everybody, and then DeChambeau is second. And FanDuel and DraftKings both, Rahm and McIlroy were tied for third.
Okay.
MGM has Rahm third, McIlroy fourth. So I
offered to Brian to you guys, you know, go ahead and treat it that way.
Is that okay?
Like, yeah, it's fine by me.
Break the tie. Found an app that has them not.
I like that you did that. When it was my turn to pick in the Masters, 3 and 4 were also tied. And I didn't go looking. I looked at FanDuel and that was it. And I just, whatever, I don't care. So
you picked all of them.
I picked all, I picked two of the three. One, I forget who, I might have skipped Rahm if he was up there.
Okay.
But I had DeChambeau and Rory, I think.
I picked Rahm at the PGA.
Oh, Scheffler, too. Yeah, whatever. I did not pick all three. I know that.
We had a little back and forth when I was up at the PGA about Rahm because his number was pretty, you know, I guess high, right? He wasn't one of the three favorites. And we talked about him, and Brian gave a list of reasons why, you know, people are not as excited about right. him. And I said, all right, I'm in. Because that's all going to be baked into the mm-hmm, odds. Like, mm-hmm. that seems like a pretty good bet. And he was second for a while. Like, he was the one guy who got yep. close to, right?
Yeah.
He got close to Scheffler on Sunday. But then fell off at the end. He really right. never came that close to winning.
Right, but he was a threat.
He was a threat
for a while there. Yeah.
What do you think Brian should do today? Pick the top four, all of them? Would you leave anybody out for a certain reason? Hard to leave out Scheffler. That's
it old. Is. I would be tempted to leave out Rory. It's a hard guy to leave out because most people who are golf fans like him. I'm sure he has his share of detractors because everyone does, but he seems like a pretty popular, universally, you know, admired. I'll stop short of beloved here, but whatever. I think he's a popular player. But I just sort of feel like the Masters was such a catharsis for him that it's, If it were my turn to pick, we'll see how he plays in this one and up until the Open when I pick again. But I would just be tempted to just say you had your year already. Like I just think that was such a release for him that you know, sure, you could feel confident and buoyed by that and be just, you know, momentum and all that. I just think it's likely to be a big come down. Like, I accomplished this. Broke the drought in the majors, accomplished the career grand slam at that, and okay, exhale. Like, I wouldn't bet on him right now.
Missed the cut in Toronto.
Right. Bad. Pretty badly.
Yeah, wait, right, 9 over or something.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not basing it just on that. And he has played some good golf since he won, but I just would be worried about him in a pressure situation. I think it'd be pretty easy to just go, even at the level that these guys are at, operating at. I just think it's easy to just, yeah, you know, next time. Or whatever.
Well,
like, just WE the whole thing. I've got the career grand slam. I'm all set. Whatever.
WE.
I wouldn't pick him this time. I'm curious to see if Brian does and what he thinks of my guess here.
Appreciate the context here. Like, it's a case, you can't pick everybody.
Right.
So you're trying to pick 10 guys and you've got open winners down the list that pay more if
Although,
you win. And
him not being in the top tier makes it harder to pass him up. If he were in the top three, I would probably skip him. But he pays full, like that'd be a regrettable miss if you passed on him, I think, and he's in the full tier.
Yeah.
So that's tempting.
There's also, and I have no idea if this would occur to Brian, but it would occur to me and I'd have to push it off. He's 0-2 this year, Brian.
Oh, right.
Because we both hit Masters and PGA, so maybe your instinct would be, I know, listen to me, right? I'm analyzing this game to this ridiculous level, but you might be like, want to play it a little safer because you're down.
Right.
As it turns, you're down one unit because our
we both
wins
won
were both favorites.
Yeah.
Half unit wins. Still, though, you know,
I just can't wait. Can't wait till it begins, and then I can start rooting for everyone to, you know, hit balls into the church pews and break their ankles on sprinkler heads.
Yes,
that Brian picks. Really,
this game. You have a rooting interest in every shot.
Right,
it's so good. Sal Capaccio after the update here on WGR.